Really pleased to count the award-winning photojournalist Nick Dansker as one of my friends, and Nick's done so much stuff for us over the years. He flies to some of the most inhospitable countries in the world and takes some truly amazing photographs and does reports. He's quite often on Radio 4, and delighted to say that he's put this special report together for us. And if you think we were having it bad in Europe, listen to this.
Like you, I'm at home. I had planned to be in Pyongyang, North Korea, but also, like you, my travel plans went awry several weeks ago. Other assignments fell like domino blocks tumbling one after the other: Kyrgyzstan, Myanmar, and the Philippines. I had an inkling of what was happening. The North Koreans emailed me on the 29th of January. As you're aware, recently novel coronavirus crisis occurred in China is getting bigger day by day. In this regard, our government prohibited the entry from China. At the moment, Russia remains open, so you may enter via Vladivostok. However, 2 weeks later, they emailed me, "The COVID-19 outbreak in surrounding countries are growing rapidly, and our country also put on alert and blocked all travel in order to prevent the damage." The email turned into a plea. "We are lacking materials, so we are raising a hand to you if you're able to get virus RNA isolation kit, RNase inhibitor, or human RNase P gene primer. I look for your aid. I understand that you may not be familiar with these materials and may find it difficult to get them." That's now history. But as I try and referee the arguments between my three teenagers, usually only adding fuel to the flames, I think of Navid and his family, who I photographed on a recent assignment to Indonesia. For the last 16 years, they've lived in a tiny, minuscule one-room abode. They sleep, wash, cook, eat in the tiny space between the few cardboard boxes that contain their possessions: the primer stove for cooking and a standpipe. When they lie down to sleep, they do so head to toe like sardines. The latrines are down the lane. For most of the people I visit across the world on assignments, lockdown is all but impossible. Extreme poverty for tens of millions means that there's no rice in the bowl, no flour in a container, nothing. They rely on their daily wage to put food on the table in the evening. Toilets and refrigerators don't exist. Just over a year ago, I was photographing an IDP camp in northern Myanmar. IDP means internally displaced people who fled the war, their plight all but forgotten. There was no water in their camp. Children and women spend their days walking kilometers to carry buckets back to their makeshift homes. If you ask them to wash their hands for 20 seconds, they would think you're mad. As for social distancing, I would like to mention the prison I photographed in Herat in northwestern Afghanistan last March. 18 to a cell, and as you can imagine, they didn't show me the most crowded cells. The prison governor told me the prison was built for 400 inmates. At the time of my visit, the prison population was over 3,000. Herat is now Afghanistan's most COVID-19 affected city. And when did you last hear of ISIS? The Global Coalition to Defeat ISIS have already announced that they will pull troops out of Iraq due to fears of COVID-19 spread. But ISIS's weekly newsletter, Al-Naba, published an editorial 2 weeks ago on COVID-19 entitled "The Crusaders' Worst Nightmare," and reports approvingly on COVID-19's effect on its enemies. I quote, "Fear of this contagion has affected them more than the contagion itself. COVID-19's effect is paralyzing Western Crusader nations in particular." The editorial goes on to urge ISIS supporters to liberate Muslim captives from prisons and camps, to show no mercy to the infidels and apostates in their moment of crisis, and instead to attack and weaken them. In all our current consuming fight against the virus, we have forgotten the rights of so many peoples, even here in Europe, where you need to look no further than Hungary, a few hundred kilometers away. Let me ask you a question. Which two countries claim to not have had a single case of the coronavirus? have you guessed? Turkmenistan, where the authorities are avoiding the use of the word coronavirus in order to deter the spread of information about the pandemic. And you guessed it, North Korea. Let me quote you from the email I received on the 27th of March. Dear comrade and friend, our government declared national emergency anti-epidemic system at the early stage of COVID-19 outbreak, and until now, we have no single case due to scientific and preemptive measures taken, such as concentrated hygienic propaganda, travel control, and thorough disinfection of public places, etc. Do I hear any of you wanting to move to either Ashgabat or Pyongyang? Really, no cases? Ah, the price of freedom. Which finally brings me back to home and our own freedoms. 3 weeks ago, I received a call from one of the nurses' associations here in Monaco. They asked me if I would photograph their work during this crisis. You might think me mad, but I didn't hesitate to say yes. It's what I do. I know the risks. I think of my friends I've lost on the front lines. Dr. Ramez de Lassa fever in Sierra Leone. Cheryl Thayer, a nurse murdered in the Caucasus with 5 other nurses and doctors. I've had to dodge bullets and shelling. But it seems here people are more afraid of their own shadow or someone else's shadow. I believe one way to commemorate tragedy is to highlight the courage and selflessness of those on the front line, the nurses and doctors, the ambulance drivers, the delivery men, and yes, even the morticians. I'm still waiting on the authorities and institutions to give me the green light. They know where to find me. They just have to pick up the Monaco phone directory.
Nick Danziger. And tomorrow morning at this time, you can hear Mark Dezani's Coronavirus UK Reports Part 3. Times this morning's comedy, and we reported on the death of Honor Blackman at the age of 95 in the last hour. And Gareth and Andrew have asked if we could play Patrick McNee and Honor Blackman's Kinky Boots from 1964. So here it is.
Kinky boots, it's a manly kind of fashion that you borrow from the brutes.
Borrow from the brutes. Kinky boots, fashion magazines, they wear 'em.
And you rush to obey like the women in the harem.
Full length, half length.
Fully fashioned calf length.
Brown boots, black boots.
Patent leather jack boots.
Low boots, high boots.
Lovely lanky thigh boots.
We all dig those boots. Everybody's crazy for those kinky boots, kinky boots. Kinky boots.
And whether you're in evening dress or bathing suit,
you wear boots, boots, a kinky boot. There are 20 million women wearing kinky boots, kinky boots.
Puss in boots, footwear manufacturers are gathering the fruits.
Gathering the fruits. Kinky boots, advertising men say try 'em.
And you all run amok like a flock of sheep to buy 'em.
Sweet girls, sweet girls.
Frumpy little beach girls.
Square girls, school girls.
Sexy little school girls.
Maiden aunties.
Naked every concert.
They all dig those boots. Everybody's rushing for those Russian boots.
Russian boots.
Kinky boots.
Cover up the slender little tender boots.
Kinky, slinky.
Leather is so kinky.
Come and get those kinky boots, boots, kinky boots.
Right, it's time for our short story, written by our friends in a local writing club in Monton, organised by the Amazon best-selling author Martin Lake. This morning, Sarah Lysett reads Chasing Rainbows by Heather Lounsbury.
I thought the day couldn't get any better. I was following my dream, getting paid to travel. What a life, early in my career. Or actually, before I even started, I wanted to help people, make decent money, and see the world. Doing what I love while doing what I love. Unrealistic? Maybe. I've been planning this retreat for months, making sure everything was perfect. Location, food, weather, my students, the Pilates teacher. We arrived just before I was supposed to start my first class. 13 eager guests ready to learn about nutrition to better their lives, de-stress and boosting your energy naturally. Something we all need, myself included. My arrival was a bit delayed due to the bridge collapsing in Genoa. I'd driven across the bridge just a month before the tragedy occurred. Seeing footage shocked me. Seeing the humongous missing chunk of concrete in person made me a bit sick. But a few miles past the deadly site, my thoughts went back to obsessing about the upcoming weekend. Was I prepared? Would the guests get what they came for and more? Would the hotel be as wonderful as it looked? Most importantly, how good was their chef? I was a bit nervous because they'd created a special menu with my guidance. So many unknowns. I'm not good with unknowns. The hotel was located on a beautiful organic farm in the middle of nowhere, Italy. Lush green rolling hills as far as you can see. Farmlands of Tuscany. Exactly how I'd pictured it in my mind. But even prettier. Each of the buildings on the property looked at least a century old. Authentic in every way. I didn't get my perfect weather I'd prayed for. It was rainy, grey, and a mere 9 degrees. My room was modern except for the heat. Uh-oh, should I panic? No, I'm not going to let something like a freezing room and a few raindrops spoil my weekend. An added bonus to the location, there was an adorable dog named Margot, some sort of golden retriever mix, who seemed old and wise beyond her 5 years. She was beautiful but looked closer to 10 years old. Margot was friendly enough, but she seemed like she couldn't be bothered with the guests. More like a cat than a young dog, but don't try to take her ball from her. Margot had no interest in playing fetch. The ball was hers and no one else's. In my large but chilly room, I quickly changed and splashed on some makeup. Do I look presentable? Not sure, but it will have to do. Off to teach. First class done. High from the enthusiasm of my participants, I was walking back from my room for a quick change before Pilates. The dreary grey day hadn't disappeared, but I was so happy that the imperfect weather didn't bother me at all, which means I must have been happy. Walking towards my room, I saw a few guests taking pictures of the vista just beyond my suite. The view is amazing, but why was everyone so excited? Then I see it, big, beautiful, and right in front of me, a rainbow peeking through all the dark storm clouds, a gorgeous rainbow. Is this a sign from the universe? Will my retreat be a success? Will everyone get some help from my teachings? I'll take nature's miracle as a yes, Heather. I must be doing something right.
Chasing Rainbows by Heather Lounsbury was read by Sarah Lyce. It's another short story tomorrow morning at the same time.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online, this is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyce has the top stories across the Riviera.
France has recorded its worst daily toll on Monday of deaths due to the coronavirus. Since the start of the epidemic, a total of 8,911 deaths have occurred in French hospitals. The latest figures released on Monday evening showed that 605 people had died in 24 hours. Since March the 1st, 2,417 deaths have occurred in nursing homes in France, bringing the total number of coronavirus victims in France to 8,911, an increase of 833 dead since the last count, which was made on Sunday. 7,072 patients are still in intensive care, said the Minister of Health, 94 more since Sunday. A total of 29,722 people are currently hospitalised, and 17,250 people have left hospital having recovered from the virus. Meanwhile, figures in the region show that since the beginning of the epidemic in the Var and the Alt-Maritime, 88 patients have died from COVID-19 in hospital and 31 in the nursing home in Mougins. 9 people died of COVID-19 on Monday in hospitals in the Var and the Alt-Maritime regions. In the Alt-Maritime, the death toll rose from 43 to 47. 233 people are currently hospitalised. 80 other patients are in intensive care. In Monaco, 4 new cases of coronavirus were reported on Monday evening. The total number of cases to date is 77, of which 4 patients have been cured and 2 have died. 12 patients are in hospital, of which 4 are in intensive care. In Marseille, an army of researchers and doctors have joined forces to try to understand the immune responses to COVID-19. The study has one goal, to find as quickly as possible new treatments. The disease caused by the coronavirus has been named COVID-19 by the World Health Organization. The research project is entitled Explore COVID-19 and will concentrate on the 15% of patients most affected. More than 40 doctors and researchers who have been working since April the 1st on blood samples taken from 100 patients will study the immune response to infected patients. This is the first study based on observation. Professor Eric Vivier explains that while 85% of people with COVID-19 managed on their own, the cases being studied are the remaining 15% whose symptoms lead to emergencies and who end up being hospitalised. Meanwhile, Jean Castex, a senior official with knowledge of the healthcare sector, has been chosen to pilot France's strategy on easing COVID-19 lockdown measures. Castex must do so without triggering a second wave of infections. When it comes to experience, Jean Castex ticks all the right boxes. French Prime Minister Edouard Philippe last Thursday described him as incredibly efficient during a televised address to the nation that broke with his usual reserve. Several politicians have also come out in praise of the man now in charge of orchestrating the country's process of deconfinement, or the end of the confinement period, which Philip himself admitted would be fearsomely complex. In a press release, the National Syndicate of Dermatologists in France has reported that in some cases of COVID-19, patients may suffer a sudden onset of sometimes painful redness and temporary skin irritations. The syndicate warns of symptoms which can potentially appear on the skin in the event of a contraction of the disease, potentially contagious. The Dermatologists' Union has therefore suggested that if these skin symptoms occur, patients should consult a professional in the sector as soon as possible. The mayor of Nice, Christian Estrosi, has stepped up measures due to the coronavirus and due to too many people continuing to ignore confinement regulations in Nice. Wearing a mask will become obligatory in Nice. The masks, which will be reusable for a month, are set to be distributed in about 10 days' time. A further announcement will be made in 2 days' time as to how they will be distributed. Hundreds of fines have been issued in Nice and some people have now been placed in police custody for failing to respect regulations in place to help stem the spread of the virus. The curfew, which is currently in place from 11 p.m. to 5 a.m, is expected to be moved forward to 8 p.m. in some areas where people are refusing to cooperate, including the city centre and east of the city, notably Notre Dame, Trachel and Saint-Charles. Finally, the right to go out and exercise has seen too many people using it as an excuse to go out in pairs or meet with family members, so fixed times have been introduced from 6 a.m. to midday and from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. A digital travel certificate has been made available by the French government for all outings during the confinement period. To download the digital certificate, you can go to www.media.interieur.gov.fr. The paper version of the certificate remains valid, but all certificates must be updated with the date, reason, and time of leaving your domicile. Two European commissioners have urged Germany to agree to the EU issuing joint debt to fight the coronavirus crisis, as wealthy northern nations remain reluctant to back the so-called corona bonds. The Spanish Prime Minister has urged the EU to issue the bonds in order to help the bloc's hardest-hit countries fund their battle against the devastating economic impact of the coronavirus pandemic. But the Netherlands, Germany and Austria remain reluctant. The proposal of corona bonds is to come up with new funding to counter the economic fallout of the COVID-19 pandemic, which has most people in the EU confined to their homes and has caused the global economy to grind to a virtual standstill. A bond, essentially an IOU with a serial number, is issued by governments or companies in need of money. Bonds expire after a fixed amount of time and generate a fixed interest that is usually paid twice a year. French Prime Minister Emmanuel Macron has expressed his full support to British Prime Minister Boris Johnson after it was announced on Monday evening that the Prime Minister had been moved into intensive care. Macron tweeted, "My full support for Boris Johnson, his family and the British people at this difficult time," saying, "I hope he overcomes this ordeal quickly." A map which has been circulating on social media showing France divided into three zones with dates for when each zone will end home confinement is reportedly a fake. Both the French Prime Minister's office and the Health Ministry have issued statements saying that the map is false. No official statements have been made about such an end to confinement. The French government is exploring several scenarios. Finally, online auctions offering works by renowned artists have raised more than 2.4 million euros for carers. Nearly 400 lots offered by artists, collectors and gallery owners have been dispersed for the benefit of the hashtag Protège ton soignant collective. The entire auction is intended to help hospital structures, city doctors, liberal nurses and nursing assistants. The collective hashtag Protège ton soignant brings together doctors, medical teachers, entrepreneurs, artists and committed citizens with the mission of helping and supporting the caregivers who fight COVID-19 on a daily basis.
Riviera Radio Sports News.
Thank you, Sarah. Football: Liverpool have reversed a decision to furlough non-playing staff of the club and apologised to fans. On Saturday, the club said it was going to apply for the UK government's taxpayer-funded job retention scheme, which sparked a fierce backlash. In a letter to the club's fans, the Liverpool chief executive, Peter Moore, said, "We believe we came to the wrong decision last week and are truly sorry." He added the club had opted to find alternative measures to pay staff. Golf: the Open Championship's been cancelled because of the coronavirus pandemic. The Open had been due to be held at Royal St George's in Kent, but will now be hosted at the venue in 2021. The three other majors have been rescheduled, with the Masters put back until November, and the US PGA now scheduled to be played in August. The US Open at Winged Foot, New York, has been moved from June to September, a week before the Ryder Cup. And in Formula One, the sports bosses have agreed to look in closer detail into the issues around lowering a budget cap for 2021. The decision was made following an emergency meeting on Monday, but the top three teams are resisting proposals to push the budget cap lower from $175 million to $125 million. A bid to delay new rules by a further year to 2023 was also rejected. The McLaren boss, Zak Brown, has warned that Formula One is in a very fragile state and said it was imperative to reduce the budget cap to $125 million to ward off the threat of teams quitting the sports.
The marine weather forecast brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Be safe on the seas with Oyster Yachts.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almarazim and the Var, the general situation: high pressure 1023 to 1027 millibars over the region. Winds are variable, force 2 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint Jean Cap Ferrat 1025 millibars. Then the outlook for Wednesday: clear skies, force 2 to 4, variable winds, slight seas, and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are northeasterly, force 3 to 5. The sea is slight to moderate, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse 1024 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday: clear skies, force 1 to 3, variable winds, calm seas, and good visibility.
The marine weather forecast brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Crafted by British boat builders since 1973, the best ocean going sailing yachts in the world. The world is your oyster. Make Oyster your world. OysterYachts.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
Clear skies again, light southeasterly winds. Temperatures 19 to 21 degrees this afternoon. Overnight lows 12 degrees on the coast, 8 degrees inland with clear skies. Wednesday and Thursday, clear skies, highs of 18 to 21 degrees again. Finally, married life got off to an unexpected start for a pair of newlyweds in South Africa when police showed up to the party. They received a tip-off that the wedding in KwaZulu-Natal was happening on Sunday despite a nationwide ban on all public gatherings because of coronavirus. All 50 wedding guests, the pastor who conducted the ceremony, and the newlyweds themselves were promptly arrested and taken to a police station outside Richards Bay. They've all been charged. A widely circulated video showed the moments the besuited groom helps his wife into the back of a police van in her white wedding dress, complete with train and veil. Having something to show the children. Can we see the wedding video? No.